السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. سيد المرسلين وخاتم النبيين ورحمة للعالمين، وصلى الله على آله الطاهرين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. أوصيكم عباد الله ونفسي بتقوى الله. Islam is a communal religion which emphasizes the importance of community and our identity as part of that community, locally or even on a global level when we talk about the Ummah at large. And this element of communal ties has been emphasize even in the recommendations that we have for the daily prayers, that it is highly recommended to go for Jamaat prayers rather than doing it individually. To the extent, just to show the importance of it, the hadith that we have on this says if there are two people in Jamaat, this is the number of thawab and reward. If 3, 4, 5 to 10, it says that if 10 people are there or more, then nobody knows the number of the reward for that group but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the angels cannot count that. Now this is all to emphasize this point that we are not only individuals, we are part of a community locally as well as globally. And this is also further strengthened by the weekly prayer we have in form of the Jummah prayers. You see the rulings are there that you could have a masjid in every neighborhood where you can walk from your home to the masjid. In a Muslim society, you will see many times that way. But then when it comes to the Jummah prayers, there is a parameter that within that parameter, you can't have two Jummahs. In a sense that, Islam is saying that at least once a week, let the people from a larger, region of that area gather together, not in all these separate masajid. And this is where we have to realize that even the Friday prayers is a way of reinforcing our identity, as part of the community and the part of the global ummah. Imam Ali ibn Musa رضي الله عليه الصلاه والسلام in a hadith quoted by Sheikh Saduq in Uyun Akhbar al-Ridha, he talks about the different issues, and one segment is about the Friday prayers, where he says if somebody says that Jummah prayers is in place of Zuhr prayers, but Zuhr is 4 rakat, how come Jummah has 2 rakat? And Imam says, well, you had 2 khutbas there, and therefore, the duration of the Salat has been reduced. Then Imam comes to the Friday khutbah. And this is what I would like to, talk about this today. What Imam explains, فَإِنْ قَالَ لِمَا جُعِلَتِ الْخُطْبَةِ. If Imam says, if somebody asks, why the khutbas are there for the Friday prayers? Imam basically, explains 4 reasons for it. Beginning with what he says, لِعَنَّ الْجُمْعَ مَشْهَدٌ عَامٌ. Number one, he says, keep in mind, this is the preamble to that, but he says, Jummah is a general, larger gathering. فَأَرَادَ أَنْ يَكُونَ لِلْإِمَامِ سَبَبًا. As therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted the Imam of the Jummah to have this opportunity. To do what? 4 things. Number one, لموضعتهم وترغيبهم في الطاعة. To advise them, to encourage them to do good deeds. In other words, you know, you can simplify that by saying to do al-amr bil-ma'roof, to encourage them to do good. Number two, وَتَرْبِيُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَعْصِيَّةِ, to prevent them and to remind them about the consequences of Jahannam as far as, you know, committing sins are concerned. So this is النهي عن المنكر, the second purpose of the khutbah. Number three, وَتَوْقِيفُهُمْ عَلَى مَا أَرَادَ مِنْ مَصْلِحَةِ دِينِهِمْ وَدُنْيَاهُمْ, and to familiarize the community about what is good for their faith and for their dunya, for the dunya and the akhirah both. So whatever is good for them, you know, these are the issues which can be discussed in the Friday khutbah. And number four, وَيُخْبِرُهُمْ بِمَا وَرَدَ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الْآفَاقِ مِنَ الْأَهْوَالِ الَّتِي لَهُمْ فِيهَا مَضَرَّ وَالْمَنْفَعَ. There are two different versions of this statement in the sources of hadith, but I'm going with this one. The fourth purpose of the Imam of the Jummah is to inform the people what has come to him from other places, Minal Afaq, different countries or cities, about tragedies or situations which are harmful or beneficial for them. And this is where I would translate that simply as current issues. You know, simply some people have said, Maulana, why you get into politics in Friday khutbah? We're coming from namaz, for ibadat. Well, that's also ibadat, according to Imam Ridha alayhi salatu wasalam. We don't talk about politics, you know, for the sake of politics. We always relate to the Islamic values and Islamic dimensions of that. And whether, you know, what are the impacts on us locally as well as globally. And so remember that the khutbah of Friday has multiple purpose. Number one, it could be simple religious spiritual sermon of do's and don'ts. Number two, it could also have issues which are beneficial or detrimental for the community, including the local and national political issues. And number three, it can also contain issues about global social and political situations, which can have an impact positively or negatively on us or the global ummah. And so this is where we have to realize that, you know, this is not only simply ibadat. You know, there was a time when talking about politics were forbidden in many, many Muslim countries. Even now, there are countries where the Friday khutbah is emailed or faxed to the a'imma of Jummah. They don't have a right to say anything by themselves. You know, but this is not what Islam is talking about. Islam talks about, you know, all issues, whether it is deen or dunya, you know, whether it is local or global. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the wisdom to understand the Islamic teachings according to the teachings of the Imams of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wa salam. Inna ahzal hadith kitabullah aziz, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wal asr inna linsana lafi khusr illa alladhina amanu wa amal as-salihat wa tawasaw bil haqqi wa tawasaw bil sabr. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحليم الكريم غافر الذنب وقابل التوبة وهو الغفور الرحيم. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا هو العطوف على العباد بجوده والعواد على المذنبين بحلمه. ونشهد أن محمدا نبيه وحبيبه سيد المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين ورحمة للعالمين، صلى الله عليه وآله الداعين إلى سبيل الله بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة، قادة الأمم وولياء النعمة ومعدن الرحمة. أوصيكم عباد الله بالتوبة عما سلف من ذنوبكم. In last night's majlis, I talked about the issue of marriage contract and the optional conditions that we have suggested in that aqd and the contract. Of course, it was not a complete discussion. There are many other issues related to that that we'll be talking about it in future, inshallah. I wanted to talk about one issue about marriage, which in a way, you know, these days we are getting this news of all different kind, positive and negative, from Pakistan about this young girl by the name of Dua Zahra. And things are not yet clear. You know, I have been trying to contact a couple of ulama who are directly involved in that case from Karachi. Last night there were many calls. I missed him. He called me when I was not available. So I'm still looking into details, because what you see in social media, it's still not clear. And so I don't want to pass any discussion, you know, judgment about it or any comments. But let me talk about this issue of the concept of consent in marriage as a general discussion. Because whatever is happening there, you know, we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may He keep all the girls of the ummah all over the world, for the humanity actually, the girls of all people around the world, you know, under His protection, away from the evil elements of the societies. When we look at the overall concept in Islam about marriage, you know, this is the only relationship where you have a choice. Other relationships, you don't have a choice. Even though it's wajib to maintain silatul rahim, even if you don't like them. You know, those are, you don't have a choice there to pick and choose. But when it comes to marriage, this is the place where Islam says that it should be based on consent of both parties. However, Shia fuqaha and mujtahideen jurists emphasize that in case of a girl, the daughter, she also needs, besides her own consent, she also needs the consent of her father as her wali. This has been done as a safeguard for the reputation of the girls, where there might be a chance of people, you know, taking advantage of the young age and immaturity of a younger girl. However, you know, there is a provision there. Sometimes the fathers refuse to give the consent based on reasons which are not acceptable from Islamic point of view. It might be just cultural issues, you know, or the color of the person, or the race of the person, or the tribe of the person, or the zat path issue that we have sometimes. Sometimes even financial status comes up. And these are not, there's no place in Islam for that. And if a father misuses his, you know, power in that way, then according to the Shia fiqh, the jurist or the authorized wakil will take the place of the father and override the rejection of the father. So there is a provision out there, you know, in order to safeguard, you know, that it's not being misused, that authority. But what I would like to say, you know, just looking at the overall situation, is that it's a moment for us to reflect on this issue. The role of internet, you know, and its impact on the relationships which are being formed. Parents need to be vigilant regarding the online activities of their children. Even if they are in mid-teens, you know, it's not that, you know, they are immune for all problems. No. There are different sites, you know, different groups out there who manipulate the minds of young boys and girls and push them towards this decision which are harmful for them and their future. Remember that we don't only have to now worry about the shaitan outside. You know, we say, okay, I will keep our children home. They will not go out unless we are with them. Well, that's good. But now the shaitan has an access to you inside your home in all different media forms that we have. So it's not an issue of just, you know, protecting the children in an Islamic school or, you know, when you go out. You know, shaitan has the access inside our own homes through the TV, through the internet. And this is where we have to be careful about it, because internet is a good thing. But it is also used, you know, by evil elements of the society in order to exploit people in different ways. Whether it's telephone, you know, you look at all kinds of things that happens, you know, as far as fraud is concerned, cheating others is concerned, seniors being bombarded, you know. Sometimes you get calls, oh, there is a reward for you. We want some more details of your accounts. You know, somebody came to me, Molana, you know, I got a call. I have $6 million, you know, in my name, and I'm thinking of giving half to Bathurst. So what is the ruling about it? I said, you know, just forget about it and don't respond and don't deal with these things. You know, police talks about this, you know, internet and telephone frauds. So yes, these are all good tools that we have that we can use. You know, but remember that the evil people use all new methods. And if you try to come up with protective ways and softwares, they have even something more after that. This is an ongoing issue. And especially when it comes to our children, we have to be careful. Always remember ayat number 6 from surah number 66. Surah At-Tahrim, the surah talks about the family life, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. O you who believe, rescue yourselves and your family from the fire. Which fire? وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْهِجَارَةِ. The fuel of that will not be from Middle Eastern oil. The fuel of fire of Jahannam would be the people and the stones themselves. And this is where we have to realize that. And the ayat goes on to say that they are malaika as the wardens of Jahannam. So you can't buy, you know, your way out by bribing them. You know, they just follow what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. And so this issue of rescuing ourselves and our children, أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ. Not only children, actually family we're talking about here. And this is an important issue. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to have that wisdom, understanding, and the courage to take care of ourselves and our families, inshallah. اللهم صل على سيد المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وعلى إمام المتقين وأمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب صلوات الله عليه وعلى سيدة نساء العالمين سيدتنا فاطمة بنت رسول الله صلوات الله عليها وعلى سيد شباب أهل الجنة الحسن المجتبى والحسين الشهيد بكربلاء عليهم الصلاة والسلام وعلى أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي عليهم الصلاة والسلام اللهم صل على مولانا الحجة بن الحسن صاحب العصر والزمان ما أحيى آثار البدء والطغيان هادم يا أبنية الشرك والنفاق حاسد فر البغي والشقاق صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آبائه الكرام ما اتصلت الليالي والأيام. اللهم عجل الفرج وصح المخرج واكحل ناظرنا بنظرة من إليه واجعلنا من المستشهدين بين يديه. اللهم اجعلنا ممن يذكر فتنفعه الذكرى. إن الله يعمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون.